Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to Mountain Grown Public Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Friday. The Denver Post reports that because of the ongoing drought, Colorado's largest municipal water providers will try to restrict spring and summer watering to 2 times a week, among the toughest limits ever imposed. Denver Water, Aurora Water, and Colorado Springs Utilities are seeking Stage 2 drought restrictions, which reveal serious conditions as the watering season approaches. In the past, the cities have cited and fined people for breaking the rules. The only way lawn watering restrictions could be avoided in Denver is if the mountains were to receive at least 8 feet of snow by April, says Denver Water spokesperson Stacy Chesney. Denver Water's reservoirs haven't been full since July 11th and are averaging 71% capacity. The Upper South Platte River watershed and the Colorado River watershed, which serve those reservoirs, had a combined snowpack average of 62% as of Monday. Experts say the levels are comparable to 2002, when the region fell into one of the worst droughts on record. Last year, the region was under Stage 1 drought restrictions, which called for customers to voluntarily restrict use. Denver Water, which produces 234,000 acre-feet of water a year, estimates that 55% of the water is for outdoor use, and nearly half of that water it produces goes to households. An acre-foot of water is generally believed to be enough to serve the needs of 2 families of 4 for a year. This edition of Western Slope Skies looks at the March equinox coming up on the 20th, bringing balance and signaling a change in the angle of the sun. The Black Canyon Astronomical Society's Brian Cashin reports.
March 20th is the March equinox, one of 4 important days in the year that define the relation between the sun and the earth. Most of the year, the Earth's axis is tilted relative to the sun, and the sun strikes the Earth at varying angles, depending upon the latitude. When the northern hemisphere is tilted away from the sun, we get less direct sunlight, shorter days, and therefore winter. The southern hemisphere is just the opposite. However, on the 2 equinoxes, one in March and one in September, Earth is not tilted relative to the sun. In the northern hemisphere, we are entering spring. However, the southern hemisphere is entering autumn. For this reason, it is becoming more common to call this the March equinox rather than the spring equinox. Equinox comes from the Latin meaning equal night. We might think that this means that the day and night are each 12 hours long. While for practical purposes this is suitable, it's not technically accurate. Sunrise is defined as when the upper edge of the sun's disk becomes first visible above the true horizon. For example, a horizon you see if you are on a large body of water. In the same sense, sunset refers to when the upper edge disappears below the true horizon. In both instances, the center of the sun is below the horizon, and therefore the equinox day lasts a little longer than 12 hours, and the night is slightly less. Note that an equinox can occur on any planet that has a tilt in its axis relative to its orbit around the sun. The most extreme example of this is Uranus. While the Earth's axis is tilted about 23 degrees, Uranus is tilted 98 degrees, meaning it's almost lying on its side. The seasons there are quite variable and long. You've been listening to Western Slope Skies, produced by members of the Black Canyon Astronomical Society. I'm Brian Cashin.
The Associated Press reports that Colorado National Monument near Grand Junction will no longer sell water in plastic bottles in a move to protect the environment. Monument spokesperson Nick Myers says a huge percentage of the park's waste consists of plastic water bottles in trash cans and along the roadways. The monument has 1 water refill station at the visitor center and there are plans to install a second by April. Visitors are encouraged to bring their own refill water bottles to the park. If they forget to bring one, there are reusable water bottles available for purchase. A major project at the Paonia River Park this winter rehabilitated the river channel and restored aquatic habitat along a half-mile stretch of the North Fork of the Gunnison River. The restoration involved weed and flood mitigation, an effort to keep salinity out of the Colorado River, the creation of a fish and wildlife habitat, and, of course, a park. Yesterday, the Western Slope Conservation Center hosted a celebration of the evolving project. A small group marked the improvements to the river and heard from the local and regional conservationists who helped make the project possible. KVNF's Marty Derlin has the story.
A dedicated troop showed up to tramp around the Paonia River Park yesterday and mark another step in its transformation from an in-stream gravel operation into a thriving fish and wildlife habitat, wetlands, swimming and boating area, and riverside park. The project is a holistic reclamation effort with a lot of partners, brought together by the Western Slope Conservation Center. The center's Sarah Sauter welcomed the crowd with many thanks.
This is a project that started a really great partnership, especially with the Minnesota Canal and Reservoir Company and the Bureau of Reclamation and with the Delta Conservation District and with funding from the Colorado Water Conservation Board. We brought together a number of partners to create a project that is a win-win-win scenario, and we hope to have more things like this.
Each key participant spoke briefly and added another piece to the win-win-win scenario. Jeff Crane designed the restoration, managing the braided streams into a series of pools in one meandering channel. He knows the area intimately.
The whole thing is about creating habitat. We've got fish-holding structures all through here, different pools, revegetated floodplain. The geese are loving it. The elk all over the place down there. All kinds of wildlife.
Willie Kistler, representing the Minnesota Ditch Company, spoke about how the government had assisted in the project.
In this day and age, it's pretty fashionable to bash and mistrust the federal government. Well, in this case, they are the hub of the wheel. Without the money that they pledged to us to improve our irrigation water delivery system, we wouldn't have had funds to be able to offer up to the river park to see this all happen.
Many in the crowd were volunteers who have been working on the project for years. Some were eager users of the park, enjoying its kid-friendly atmosphere and swimming opportunities. And everyone seemed to concur with Chris Stern from the Colorado Water Conservation Board.
I just walked the whole project. It looks great to me. I think that the local community is fortunate to have it. That includes most every living creature in this local community. There's a lot of great habitat down there for lots of different species.
The Conservation Center was recently awarded a $10,000 grant from Union Pacific to fund landscaping at the River Park this fall. And I'm just one of the creatures. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
A bill to repeal the death penalty in Colorado is expected to be introduced today. It's one of a host of issues likely to dominate the second part of the legislative session. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The main sponsors are House Democrats Claire Levy of Boulder and freshman Jovan Melton of Aurora. Levy says they're waiting until the bill is formally introduced before revealing the exact details of the measure, but it's expected to be a straightforward repeal. Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino says he supports getting rid of the death penalty, but knows it'll be another divisive issue for lawmakers to tackle.
Your gut, your conscience tells you where this is, and it's always a difficult vote, and I think both sides have very legitimate arguments, and if it comes forward, we'll have a vigorous debate, and we'll see where it ends up.
4 years ago, when Democrats held the majority majority, they tried to eliminate the death penalty. It followed dramatic, heartfelt debates and ultimately failed by a single vote. The bill would only apply to future cases. Currently, Colorado has 3 people on death row, including Nathan Dunlap, who is out of appeals and could be executed soon. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Finally today, Evelyn Horn reports that there were some 300 cranes at Fruit Growers Reservoir 2 nights ago, and that last night she counted 80. The celebration of Sandhill Cranes starts today in Eckert. And that concludes your local newscast for Friday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Public Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.